Hello, and welcome to the Thinking Jew podcast, where we dive deep into Torah and Judaism to uncover its hidden beauty. Come join us as we take a closer look and breathe new life into traditional Jewish ideas. And now, here's your host, Rabbi Moshe Siegel.
Hello, and welcome to episode 52. Today's episode was generously sponsored by my parents in loving memory of my grandfather, Gedalia ben Shraga Feivel, on the occasion of his 6th Yahrzeit, which was today, the 11th of Kislev. May the Torah learning that comes from this episode be a merit for his soul to ascend higher and higher. I want to discuss today the question of why are we called Jews? Or in Hebrew, why are we called Yehudim? If you look in the 5 books of Moses, this term is never used on a national level. Initially, the Torah in Genesis chapter 14, verse 13, refers to Abraham as Avraham ha'Ivri, Abraham the Hebrew. And throughout the Torah, God refers to the nation as B'nai Yisrael, the sons of Israel, or the Israelites. But we're never called Jews, and Torah observance is never referred to as Judaism. So where does that come from? On a basic level, there seems to be a clear historical reason for this, and to properly appreciate it, let's take a quick historical overview beginning roughly 1,000 years BCE. King Saul was the first ever king over the Jewish nation, and after he died, King David took over. King David ruled the Jewish nation for 40 years, King David being the first king from the tribe of Judah, and when King David died, he was succeeded by his son King Solomon, who also ruled for 40 years. The reign of King Solomon is often referred to as the glory years of the Jewish nation, as we had the Holy Temple in Jerusalem, and the nation was completely united in purpose and in mission in serving Hashem. However, when King Solomon died, things started to get very messy. Rehoboam, King Solomon's son, inherited the throne. However, as described in Kings 1, starting chapter 12, the northern region of Israel felt that King Solomon had taxed them too hard and requested Rehoboam to lower the taxes. Without going into all the details, if you want to see them all, you can look over there again, Kings 1, chapter 12. Rehoboam refuses the request, doubles down on the taxes, and a large civil dispute breaks out. This resulted in the northern region rebelling, and eventually Israel becoming divided into two kingdoms, the kingdom of Israel and the kingdom of Judah. The southern kingdom, the kingdom of Judah, was composed of the tribes of Judah and Benjamin, and some of the Levites and Kohanim, while the northern kingdom of Israel was composed of the other 10 tribes. The Jewish nation continued like this with two separate kingdoms for a few hundred years until the Assyrian ruler Sanherib came and conquered the northern kingdom. The Jews that lived there were exiled and basically disappeared from history. This is what we refer to when we talk about the 10 lost tribes. Basically, the entire northern kingdom and the 10 tribes composing it are completely lost. Now, the kingdom of Judah survived, despite Sanherib's attempt to conquer them, and this southern kingdom, the kingdom of Judah, remained in place for roughly another 150 years, until the Babylonian Empire conquered the Assyrians, and Nebuchadnezzar, the Babylonian ruler, came to Jerusalem, destroyed the temple, and exiled the rest of the Jews. They were then in the Babylonian-Persian exile until their eventual return after the Purim story. So like we just mentioned, all Jews alive nowadays come from the kingdom of Judah. And naturally, the people from that region became known as Judeans or Yehudim, referring to the people that came from the kingdom of Judah. Technically, everyone alive nowadays can be either from the tribe of Levi, Judah, or Benjamin, but we're called Yehudim based on the kingdom and the region of Judah that we all stem from. This is why, if you look in Tanakh, we only begin to find the term Yehudim referring to the entire nation in the prophets and writings that were written after the demise of the northern kingdom. And that's really the basic answer. It was a historical occurrence based on the name of the kingdom. However, as our rabbis teach us, if history has it that we became called the Jews, the Yehudim, in Jewish philosophy, we understand that there's a more providential reason as to why this came to be. And the truth is that the Gemara itself actually asks this question explicitly. There's a verse in the Megillah of Esther, chapter 2, verse 5, that states, Ish Yehudi hoya b'shushan habira, ushmo Mordechai ben Yair ben Shimi ben Kish ish yemini. There was a quote-unquote Yehudi in Shushan, in the capital city of Persia, and his name was Mordechai, the son of Yair, the son of Shimi, the son of Kish, Ish Yemini, a Benjaminite. And the Gemara is bothered. Why does the verse call Mordechai both an Ish Yehudi and an Ish Yemini, a man from Judah, as well as a man from Benjamin? So the Gemara answers that Mordechai was actually from the tribe of Benjamin, but still the verse calls him a Yehudi. And then the Gemara asks, why would you call him a Yehudi? Why call him a Jew? And the Gemara answers, because he denied idolatry. And anyone who denies idolatry is called a Yehudi. The great commentary Maharsha explains that the name Yehuda contains the four letters of the Tetragrammaton. The four letters of the holy name of God are four of the five letters of Yehuda. And therefore, Mordechai was referred to as Yehudi because his only association was to God. He was not subservient to any other god, such as Haman, who tried to make himself into a god. So on a basic level, we're called Jews because we stem from the kingdom of Judah. But on a deeper level, we're called Jews because we have an exclusive relationship with God and no other power. And it goes even deeper. We've mentioned on this podcast before the idea that the first time anything is mentioned in the Torah always encapsulates the essence of that item. So following this logic, if we look at the source of Yehuda in the Torah, the first time it's mentioned, we can understand the essential element of what Yehuda really means. What does it really mean to be a man from Judah, a Jew? If you look in Genesis chapter 29, verse 35, our mother Leah gives birth to her fourth child, and she says, "Hapa'am oda es Hashem." This time I will praise and thank God. So she calls her son Yehuda, which is from the same root as the word Oda, meaning to give thanks. And at first glance, this seems like a normal gesture of gratitude. But the Gemara says something fascinating about this. The Gemara says that from the day God created the world, no one came forward and thanked God until Leah did, when she named her son Judah. And the commentaries are all bothered by this. We find plenty of examples of our other great ancestors prior to Leah who gave praise and thanks to God. So what does the Gemara mean that Leah was the first to thank God? Seemingly, Leah must have done something unique in how she thanked God that none of the previous generations had done, and that's all encapsulated in the name Yehuda, in the term for a Jew. What is that? There's a great rabbi by the name of Rabbi Avram Shmuel Binyamin Sofer, who wrote a book called the Ksav Sofer, and he provides a tremendous explanation on this question. He explains that in all of the examples we find in the Torah of the thanks and praise that our earlier ancestors gave to God, it was always for something that was extraordinary, like a miraculous winning of a war, or being allowed to live when you were stuck in a situation where it looked like there was no hope. But Leah was different. Leah thanked God not just for a tremendous, huge miracle, but even for a common, natural occurrence. Leah had already given birth three times, and many other women she had been around have also given birth. But Leah named her son Judah in this fourth birth to thank God and appreciate and praise Hashem for the everyday moments of life. This, the Ksav Sofer explains, was the unique praise of Leah. She recognized that every moment alive, every moment in which we're breathing, and every small little action we have, even if it seems natural, is a blessing from Hashem, and we need to thank Him for it. And the Sfas Emes continues this, and he says explicitly that this is why, as a nation, we're called Jews. He writes, Yehuda is from the terminology of thanks, because we thank Hashem for everything He gives us, both small and large, because we know that in reality, everything we have comes directly from Hashem. So a Yehudi, a Jew, named after Judah, the only tribe with the complete name of God inside his own name, is one who associates with Hashem and no other powers, and recognizes and thanks Hashem for every moment of life, no matter how simple or basic it may seem. I think this is an extremely befitting topic to have discussed in my grandfather's merit, as my Zaidi was one who personified what it means to be a Jew in the fullest sense. Despite having a very difficult life, living through the Holocaust, and then coming to America as an immigrant, obviously without anything, he persevered and he cherished every moment that Hashem gave him. He was one who, when you would speak with him, when you would talk to him, you would see he carried God with him throughout his whole life, and he truly personified what it means to be a Jew. I'll just end off by saying that on some of these episodes, I have a few more ideas that I would love to stick in here, but we're running out of time. So I added a new section to my website, to thethinkingjew.com, for bonus episode information. Feel free to check that out. I'm also going to send it out to whoever has signed up for my email list, so let me know if you'd like to be on that as well. I hope you enjoyed this episode. Until next time, have an amazing week.
Thank you for listening to the Thinking Jew podcast and for taking the time to study Torah and deepen your connection to Judaism. If you found value in today's episode, please leave us a rating or review and subscribe to the podcast. If you have any questions, comments, or topic requests for Rabbi Moshe, please email thethinkingjewpodcast@gmail.com or visit thethinkingjew.com.